Well, good morning. How are you? Thank you for all your prayers and your thoughts and support, and I'm doing much better. Today, I'm kind of excited to get back to finish the series, that He Shall Be Called. And if you remember, a couple weeks ago, we started the series with this prophecy from Isaiah, and I want to start by reading it again. It's in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. It says, For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called, and then it gives four names, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. It's interesting that that prophecy was spoken through the prophet Isaiah, from God, through Isaiah, 700 years before Jesus was even born. And it prophetically looked forward to his character as God in these four descriptive words or names. I think in week one I talked about the importance of a name and the meaning of a name, and a lot of us, we probably named our kids with a name that really meant something, right? There's purpose in a name. And so far we've looked at three of these names. Today I'm going to look at the fourth one, called Prince of Peace. If you missed any of these messages, you can go back and listen to them online. But today I'm going to finish the series by unwrapping this fourth name, and as I do, I hope we'll discover how Jesus can be our Prince of Peace. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth that helps us understand who you are and who your son Jesus is. And Jesus, we thank you for who you are. You're our wonderful counselor. You're mighty God, your everlasting Father, and you're our Prince of Peace. And I know, living in a world that's always looking for peace, Lord, I pray that today you would clearly show us and explain to us in our heart what kind of peace you're the author of. It's not the world's kind of peace. It's a different kind of peace. I pray that you would show us that, and we would, from this day forward, we'd always come to you. When we need peace, we would come to you, our Prince of Peace. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 14 and Philippians chapter 4. And I want to start by asking a question. Who wishes something in your life was different? I think most of us would. Now, some of you might say everything's great, wouldn't change a thing. And to you, I would say enjoy the blessing. But for the rest of us, in fact, some of us would say things are kind of crazy right now. Maybe they've been crazy for a while, or as we enter into the holidays and we're making plans for the holidays, we realize that, you know, we don't have as much money as I thought. You know, Christmas is a time where we spend money on gifts for people we love and care about. Maybe you're realizing that your financial life doesn't have peace in it, or you're making plans to be with family that you're not crazy about. The family dysfunction is, you know, at a new level. Or the plan someone else made, you're not crazy about, but you go along for the ride. And you're not feeling peace, right? You're feeling stress. Maybe you're depressed. And we hadn't even gotten to Christmas yet. And so today I want to talk about, how do we deal with that? What was God's plan for us to deal with that, right? If Jesus is our Prince of Peace, where is he? If he can bring me the kind of peace that I need, why isn't he? And I think it has something to do with our understanding, or our worldly view, of this thing called peace. When you hear that word, peace or peaceful, maybe some things come to mind. One of the things that come to my mind is calm or calmness. Who in here likes things to be calm? It's the calming that kind of reduces or eliminates the stress. I would like to replace my tension or my stress with calmness or quietness. Who likes to just get away to someplace that's quiet? We have our quiet time in the morning with God before everybody else wakes up, right? Before we have to go to work. I think about an empty house. I love it when everybody goes somewhere and I'm home alone. I like the empty house syndrome. I love the calmness and the quietness and the what I would describe maybe as peace. But not forever, because I don't like to be alone and lonely forever. I just, temporary seasons, temporary parts of the day where you can just enjoy that kind of calmness or quietness. Sleeping in on a rainy day off with the blanket pulled up over your head and everybody else is gone. Amen. It's interesting, though, when you unwrap this thing called peace, what it really means. If we go back to the Hebrew, it's two words, sar, S-A-R, sar, salom. Sar means the one in charge, the Lord, the leader. You know, back in the Roman culture, Caesar was their Lord, was their ruler. And if you were good with Caesar, if you were right with Caesar, you could experience peace. The second word, shalom, means rest. Tranquility, wholeness, completeness. In the Christian world, for believers, for God's family, Caesar's not the one in charge, but the Lord Jesus Christ is the one in charge. He's our Sar Shalom. He's our Prince of Peace. And if you're taking notes, write this down. When you're submitted to His Lordship, it is possible to experience the kind of peace He gives. And when you're not, well, you won't. And it's not the kind of peace that's described by the absence of tension or stress. It's not the absence of the storm. It's a kind of peace that you can have in the middle of a storm. It's the kind of peace that you can have when you go to where somebody else planned for you to be on Christmas Day with those people you're not crazy about, and you can still experience His peace and tranquility. And you're thinking, I want some of that. I'm going to tell you how to get it. It's a peace that doesn't make sense. It's a peace that doesn't fit in the puzzle the world gives us. But it is available. It is possible. We don't have to wait for things around us to quiet down. We can experience that calmness, that quietness from within, regardless of the noise around us. That's the kind of peace that Jesus wants to give you if you're under His control, under His authority. He's the Sar Shalom. Now, does that mean I can do anything I want, and whenever I want peace, I can just clap my hands or snap my fingers and it comes? No. There's a few conditions. And if you're willing to meet the conditions, then yes, it is possible. God's love is unconditional. He loves you regardless, but His peace is not. His peace is conditioned upon a few things. Like, you can't yell at your wife and yell at your kids and then decide to just come to church on Sunday, having not made up to them, having not asked forgiveness, and experience His peace. It usually doesn't happen. It could. It usually doesn't. Or you go charge up your credit cards because you don't have money to buy what you're trying to buy. You spend more than you make. You're up to your eyes in credit card debt. You can't just open your Bible and instantly get peace. Now, why is that? Because in those two examples, and there's many more, you're not in His will. You're not under His authority. Here's the cool thing. When we do get under His lordship, when we are under His authority, then He can give you a peace that most people can't understand. When your world is falling apart, Jesus can give you an inward peace that goes beyond human comprehension. And just as He can give you peace, He can take peace away from you. So it's interesting. Our Prince of Peace is the one we go to when we need peace, for instance, in our circumstances. But He's also the one who can take our peace away when we're not lined up with Him properly to get our attention. And He can do it either way because He can and because He loves you. Right? When things aren't going well, when we're off track, when we're out of His will, when we're living life our way, not His way, when we're selfish, when we're blowing up on the family, when we're blowing up our finances, the first thing that he would want you to do is come to him and get that figured out. So in the time that I have this morning, I want to share with you two thoughts about two kinds of peace that I think the Prince of Peace would want to give you if you don't already have it. If you're taking notes, the first one, the first thought is he's the Prince of Peace who comforts you. He's the Prince of Peace who comforts you. One of the benefits of God's peace is that he uses it to bring us comfort. Some of you are in a place right now, you're in a situation where you don't have peace, and you need to understand that Jesus wants to comfort you where you are. In John 14, I think that was our first text, John 14, verse 27. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you." What kind of peace? He goes on to say, "My peace." Not the world's kind of peace, but my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Notice he says it's my peace, my kind of peace that I want to give you. And the reason he wants to give it to us is he sees us in a mess. He sees us out of order, out of alignment with him, out of alignment in our situation. And he wants to first bring comfort to us to let us know, hey, listen, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Now, there's a few things in life that I don't have peace about. These are things that rob me of my peace. The first one, and it goes way back to when I was a young man, early 20s, working on cars. When it comes to working on cars, working on my car, somebody asked me to help them work on it, I just don't have peace about it. Because the first time I tried to work on my own car, I fouled everything up, and it ended up costing me twice as much as had I just taken it somewhere and gotten it done right. I lost all my peace about it. But when I asked my good friend Rodney or Corey or Todd or whoever else has helped me over these years when I've had car troubles, I have peace about it because my peace is in their peace. Because I know what they're doing. And so I can rest peacefully knowing that they're going to figure it out. And yeah, I'm going to have to pay them for it, but you know what? This is not going to keep me down and out. I have peace in knowing that they have peace, that they know what they're doing. Good. So I can have peace resting in the peace that they can give me when it comes to cars. Another thing I'm not fond of is working with electricity. I don't care what level the voltage. Now, this goes back when I was about 8 years old. We had just hung lights around our Christmas, our front door of our house. C3, C9, what are the colored bulbs? And I thought it would be a great idea to put aluminum icicles on those bulbs. Just add to the Christmas decor. And as I was draping these aluminum icicles over these light bulbs, somehow the aluminum made contact with the voltage and it zapped me, it shocked me. And I realized from a young age, I don't like that. Fast forward 20 years, I'm married. We're at home, at Tammy's home for the holidays, and I see her father working on the vent hood in the kitchen. And Jack was a typical man. He knew how to fix anything in unconventional ways. And instead of going out and humbling himself and turning off the power to the house while he recircuits the ventahood, something happened and it arced and he had two cavities. The power went through his two cavities and smoke was coming out of his mouth. And I made another note to self, don't do what he just did. So when things in our house break electrically and Tammy says, hey, go get the toolbox, I said, no, ma'am. No, ma'am. The way I get peace around electricity is to call my neighbor, Rick Davis, over. He's a 40-year master electrician. I have great peace when Rick shows up because I can rest in his peace that he knows what he's doing. Now, in some weird way, I want those two examples to transfer over to what the point I'm trying to make today. And that is, if you're in the middle of a stressful situation, you don't have peace, can you somehow turn to the one who knows what he's doing in any facet of life and have peace resting on the peace he has, knowing he can get me through this? There is a solution to my problem. There is an open door somewhere. And if I'll quit trying to handle it on my own and carry the ball all by myself, if I'll just come to Jesus, the Prince of Peace, my Prince of Peace, and say, Lord, I'm going to give you the ball, and I'm going to follow your lead, even though you're in the middle of the storm, the situation, the problem, it's not been fixed yet. There is a way, if you'll trust in the one who can solve your problem, somehow you can experience a peace because you're relying on your Prince of Peace to help you deal with whatever you're dealing with. So when you need peace, go to the one who's in charge. Your Sar Shalom, Jesus, your Prince of Peace. Amen? And then here's the other thought. He's the Prince of Peace who saves you. The first point was, he's the Prince of Peace who wants to comfort you. The second point is, he's your Prince of Peace who wants to save you. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me hit the pause button for just a moment because I want to go back. There was another passage that I skipped over as I was enjoying these examples and you taking great joy in my stupidity. The second verse is Philippians 4. Remember, that was the second verse I told you to turn to, Philippians 4. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. Here's a verse that kind of promotes or props up those two examples. Paul said, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So if you don't have that peace, what do? You go to the Prince of Peace. You go to him first. And you have an honest conversation with why you don't have peace. And then somehow you find a way to say, Jesus, I'm giving this situation to you because you're my Prince of Peace. And I can find peace in knowing that you're going to handle this for me. You're going to show me what to do. You're going to show me what to say. Or maybe you're going to show me what not to do or what not to say. But I'm trusting in you. And I can have peace because I'm trusting in the one who is my Prince of Peace. Okay? I thought that was a great verse. I didn't want to miss over it. Okay, now, second point. He's the Prince of Peace who saves you. Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. First, there's the peace of God that we can have in any situation. But there's also this other thing is peace with God. It's a little bit different. It's one thing to be in relationship and know that you can turn to the Prince of Peace when you're in a stressful situation. But what about those who don't have a relationship with him? I remember back when I was growing up, early 20s, Tammy's brother would come through town. He had just gotten saved, born again, experienced, and began to tell us how we needed to quit living sinfully and how we needed to come to Jesus. And, you know, like most of us, we're not ready to hear that. We're kind of enjoying where we are, and it goes in one ear and out the other. And on one of his trips, he made it his goal to throw a cassette tape. That tells you how long ago that was. Gave me a cassette tape about what hell was going to be like. And so I thought, you know, okay, I'll listen to what it says. And I listened to it. And it was a message from a guy who had been in prison. He had gotten released, been released. He went back into the prison now to help set other captives free. And it was a message that this ex-prisoner was giving to these current prisoners about what the Bible says about what hell is going to be like. And I remember staying up late one night, listening to that tape, and I listened to it several times. And it instantly caused me not to have peace in my soul. And I believe, looking back on that, that that was part of God's plan to take my peace away from me in that moment or that season of my life, because he knew he needed to get my attention. And so I remember in that situation knowing I don't really have peace with God. And that I began to think about that on a more regular basis. Fast forward 3-4 months, I can't remember the time delay, but we go to the conference to get my mother-in-law off my back. You've heard that story. But it was on that trip where I went forward at the urging of God, and I surrendered my life to Christ, because if that tape was true, I did not want to experience eternal life in that place. And so I fast forward, I make this decision to be in Christ, to put my trust in Christ. And that fear of dying and ending up in hell immediately left me. And I had God's internal peace for an eternal peace. That's the kind of peace he also wants to give us. And so there might be some people here today or watching online, and you don't have that kind of peace with God because you know you're not right with God. And he's waiting for you to make the decision to come to him and receive that kind of peace as well. It's not just a peace to help you get through your circumstances. It's a peace you're going to need for eternity. It's a peace you're going to receive when you get right with him and come into proper alignment with the one in authority. The Star Shalom. Sar Shalom. This is not the kind of peace that can come when you live a good life or when you're a good person. You can be a good person and still not have a peace in your soul between you and God. Ephesians 2:13 says, "But now in Christ Jesus," in other words, now that you're an insider, once you come to Christ, "but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace." That's the kind of peace I got on the day that I came to the altar and surrendered my life to Christ. And some of you might say, "I don't really know what that kind of peace is. I don't have that kind of peace with God." That may be true, but you can. If you're outside of his will, if you're living life on your terms, if you've not acknowledged who he is and why you need him as your Savior, then it's going to create some turmoil in your soul. It'll always be a thought lodged in the back of your head that just from time to time, the situation will present itself where that thought is triggered, and you'll wonder, if I died today, I wonder if I would wake up in heaven. And what I love about the Prince of Peace is he's very clear and articulate on how you get this kind of peace. He says, "For those who put their trust in me, for those who come to me and realize they cannot solve their own sin problem, they have to submit to the one who died on the cross that took care of the penalty for that sin. That's the only way. Coming to your Prince of Peace is the only way that you're going to get eternal peace about your relationship, about your alignment with the Lord Jesus Christ." And he says, if you'll take a step of faith, if you'll move closer to God and get under the lordship of your Sar Shalom, then you'll be rightly positioned to experience his peace. It's a kind of peace that surpasses all understanding. It's the peace of the one who's in charge. So this morning, as we kind of land the plane, and we're a little bit early, it's okay. I want to give some time of reflection on these two things that I've shared with you. My first question would be, who would honestly say, I need God's peace in my life? There's some part of my life that's not experiencing peace. Maybe it's something that's been going on for a long time. Maybe something just recently surfaced. But you know in that area of your life, you do not have the kind of peace that you need or would like to have. Here's the good news. Your Prince of Peace wants to comfort you right now. He wants to bring you comfort. He says, if you'll come to me in prayer right now, if you'll tell me what you need, if you'll give to me whatever that situation is that's causing you the problem, I want to comfort you. I want to bring you peace in that situation. So right now, I just want you to bow your heads. I want you to envision you getting up out of your chair. I don't want you to come forward, but just envision getting up out of your chair and you're coming to this altar. And in your hands, you're carrying that problem or that situation. And you're going to come and you're going to lay it at the feet of Jesus. And you're going to say, Jesus, I'm giving it to you today. This thing has robbed me of my peace. It's robbing me of my joy in life. And I don't know what to do. But as my Prince of Peace, I can trust that if I bring it to you, you'll help me get through whatever I'm dealing with. And in place of the stress or the tension that I'm feeling, I trust that you're going to bring peace right now in the midst of it. In the midst of my turmoil, in the midst of my problem, in the midst of my tribulation, I'm trusting that if I bring it to you and I lay it at your feet, I give it to you, I'm going to trust you because I know what you, I trust that you know what to do with this situation. And you lay it down at his feet, and as you walk back to your chair, this peace comes over you knowing you're not in this alone. You've given it to the one who can help you figure it out. And you can have peace every moment, every day, as you're walking through this situation, waiting for something to change, waiting for something to be different. But in the midst of that, experience peace and joy. The kind of peace that doesn't make sense on the surface, but a peace nonetheless that you can experience inside your heart and inside your soul because you've given it to the one who knows what to do. Now I want you just to have that little inside conversation with him. I'm going to wait about a minute. For some of you, he might be telling you right now, here's what I want you to do. I'm in this with you. But here's a step I want you to take to help bring remedy or solution to your problem. And then say, yes, Lord, I will do what I hear you say to do. And then do it today. Do it this week. Here's another question. Who would honestly say, I don't have peace with God? The first question was, you don't have peace in your situation. The second question is a little deeper, a little more important. I don't have peace with God. I don't feel like I'm at peace with God. Maybe you've been in church a long time, but you've not been in Christ, in relationship with Jesus Christ. No matter how good of a person you are, you feel the void. You feel it. You know, as you think about your relationship, your vertical relationship, you know that's not a clean line between you and him. There's some shadows. There's some murky spots on that line. And you would say, I don't feel like I'm absolutely in right alignment with my God. Here's the good news. You can be. You can be. I want you to think for just a moment where you might be out of alignment with Him. You might be out of alignment in a relationship. You might be out of alignment in a habit, an ungodly habit or lifestyle. And the enemy's been using that against you to just beat you up on one side, down the other, and to bring guilt and shame and condemnation. Today can be the end of that. Today you can confess that to the Lord, ask His forgiveness. Ask Him to wash the board clean, wash the slate clean. You're fully forgiven. When you get up and walk out of here, as you, if you're watching online, as you come to the end of this message online and you get on with the rest of your day, knowing that, you know what, I'm clean. I'm good with God. I've confessed all my sins. He's forgiven me fully. I can take a deep breath. I can have a peace to know that I'm right with God. For some of you who've never put your faith in God, this would be a good time to do that. And no, you don't understand it all. I still don't understand it all. But I understand enough to do what I feel like the Holy Spirit would want you to do. I know enough to know that my sin is what causes my misalignment. And I know that God sent His Son Jesus into this world that very first Christmas as a gift to us, a gift we much needed and still need today. A gift of forgiveness, a gift of redemption, a gift of true peace and joy when we confess and repent and we put our faith in Him. And I'm assuming that many of you in the house today have done that. There might be a few who haven't. There might be some watching online who haven't put your trust in Jesus Christ for whatever reason. And the Holy Spirit would say, why don't you do that today? A thought that's coming to my mind right now is that soundbite, what do you have to lose? I'll tell you what you have to lose if you're not in Christ. He tells us in His Word. You lose the opportunity to spend eternity in a right relationship with your Maker. And that may not mean much to you right now because you're still sucking air. You're still living. But it's going to be really important on that day when it's your day to go from this earth, to go someplace. It's going to be really important on that day. And we don't know when that day is going to be for us. I know this. Today I'm alive. Today I can put my trust in Jesus and have not only an internal peace of being right with Him, but I can now look forward to an eternal peace of never having to worry about where I'm going to live forever. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus died on a cross to pay for your sin problem, for those who believe in Him, God says, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And if that's your desire, just pray this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I confess I'm a sinner. I deserve death. But You died in my place so I might enjoy eternal life. That's what I desire. In spite of my sin, I desire to live forever and ever and ever. Because of my sin, I don't deserve it. I can't earn it. It's only a gift that you provide. My Sar Shalom. It's a peace that you're willing to give me if I'll declare you Lord of my life and give you my worship. Today I want to do that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for being my Prince of Peace. Father, thank you for hearing these prayers today. Thank you for giving us your Son, Jesus. And Jesus, thank you for living and dying and living again to show us the way to the Father. Thank you for being our wonderful Counselor, our Mighty God, our Everlasting Father, our Prince of Peace. Help us to live each day with you in charge. Help us to draw closer to you every day so we can know you, love you, and serve you in such a way that would give you the honor and glory you so deserve. It's in your precious, holy name that we pray. And everybody said, amen. Let's all stand and sing one more song to our Sar Shalom and receive the peace and joy that he wants to give you in return. I love you. I'll see you next Sunday.